All right, welcome everyone to the late night show with Kenneth, Restaurant Guy, and Dominic. We have. What was that? Can't just interrupt me. And by the way, this is not a podcast, but it is a late night show, and we have a lot of fun with this one. And tonight, I want to say hi to everyone over on Instagram. I see you joining us today. Hey, Chef. Welcome. And everyone that's on TikTok, welcome. Everyone in YouTube and all the other channels, welcome, welcome, welcome to come and join us tonight. We have a legend in the industry that is joining us, and I am like either whacked on coffee, which I probably am a little bit, but also super excited to have this guest on tonight. And Dominic, we do have a legend. He's even got cool stuff on his computer screen and stuff. So welcome, Paul Barron.
Hey, guys.
Paul, it is a pleasure to have you on our show. We have people joining us. Oh, I got people saying hi to us on Instagram, and just thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah.
And you know what? I saw you just come up in my feed the other day, and I'm like, holy cow, I haven't seen Paul in like 4 and some years since COVID. Wow. You were the last show we did before COVID hit. We did a webinar together.
Yep.
And we blew our socks off that. And then we said, hey, let's start a podcast. And 4 years later, 1,400 shows, Paul.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Jay's a producer, man.
Yeah, I trust me. I was funny. I did a show this morning. I sent it across to Restaurants Canada. I'm like, it only took 1,400 shows to figure out what to do right now. So I think I'm figuring it out, but it's a pleasure to have you on. So Paul, give us a little bit before we get into asking ChatGPT for today what our topic is that we're going to talk about with you, which is going to be kind of fun, because I think you can pretty much talk about anything, being a legend in the industry. Just a little bit of background while we set everything up.
Sure. How far you want to go back?
Right to the beginning, and then just
we like the team though.
Okay.
High school.
Yeah. We'll start in the food service side. I was working for Microsoft at the time, and they put me in front of mainly retail systems for food service. So that's how I kind of fell into food, because really my background is computer science and technology. Went to college at that, and got a job at Microsoft. So anyway, that's where it started. I started building retail systems, working with Microsoft, and was working mostly with retailers, which were primarily restaurant chains, big restaurant chains. So that's kind of how I got into it. Then I started a website, a handful of websites, one of which was fastcasual.com, qsrweb.com. Those are still around today with a media company that I merged many years ago. Launched the first podcast in the restaurant industry in 2007. Cool. And
Are you kidding me?
We launched the very first one. It was called Podcast Grill. And that was fun. A friend of mine by the name of Adam Curry, he's the pretty much the pod father, the guy who created RSS with Dave Weiner. And he and I got a chance to talk, and I learned about podcasting at that time, and I said, this is going to change the world one day. Here we are almost, 15 years later, it's finally become a thing. But anyway, that was kind of our gig. We started Fast Casual. We grew that into multi-events. We merged many of our associations with the National Restaurant Association. And then we launched a web TV network called Foodable that eventually was starting to put out, high quality, broadcast media to places like Netflix, Amazon Prime, et cetera. And then COVID hit, pretty much killed that business. And what was left of that was a podcast center, which we rebranded to Savor.fm. And that's one of our businesses today. But during that, we pivoted in 2019 and started really going after my passion, which was technology and innovative tech. And we fell into robotics, AI, a lot of what was happening within the EV space. And then, of course, blockchain. And that network is now called Paul Barron Network, PBN. So if you visit just paulbarronnetwork.com, you'll find us over there. But we are killing it over there. We've been doing almost 5 years in, you know, innovative tech blockchain. And that's where we are today.
Cool. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Good for you. And quite a few successful, I guess, spinoffs. Are you still involved in the networks that are doing that got spun off to the NRA in the States? Are you still part of that, or they're just gone and you're focusing now on the PBN and
Saver? Yeah. Well, Foodable was a company that, you know, when the pandemic hit, it pretty much killed it because all the advertisers went away within about 90 days, you know, so it was gone. What was left over, because we couldn't travel and do production anymore. Yeah, so that killed us for 18 months. Yeah. No air travel. You know, you couldn't send teams out. Restaurants were closing all over the world. You know, that was a bad time. But what it did do was it made us get really good in studio. So we created a really cool studio for PBN and Saver, which became, you know, a podcast network. We launched those four shows there, and those have been doing really well. Cool. But yeah, it's been a ride, that's for sure.
That's awesome. And you said you started in 2007 originally with podcasts, mm-hmm. or doing your first one.
Yeah.
What have you seen change? Because that's quite a time period. It sounds like there's quite a few people that are subscribed to some of your networks now. What's been the big change? What's the biggest change you've seen? And, you know, maybe what's to come might be the second part of that question.
I could go on this one. So podcasting wise, the technology is, I think, really the liberating part of this that a lot of people don't realize, you know, because RSS is a decentralized mechanism, mm-hmm. and it's something that, you know, in the age of wokeness and cancel culture and all those things that have happened, RSS is pretty much untouchable. I think just now mainstream media is starting to realize that.
In Canada, they're trying to lock it down.
Yeah. Well, you're probably gonna have to get a podcasting license there pretty soon. I'm sure of it.
Comment. I don't want to get kicked off.
No, we're going to do it democratically, Jay. Nothing crazy.
That's right, man. Yes. Just got to keep it straight.
And take away his pension. Okay.
There you go. Oh, not good. Anyway, as far as changes, I would say, you know, technology-wise, RSS, not much, but I think the format for new media has changed the landscape of media forever. You know, what we'll see in terms of, you know, just these networks. I mean, if you look at the success of Joe Rogan, you look at the Daily Wire, you look at maybe a Patrick Bet-David, a lot of these emerging media companies, and then even Young Turks. I mean, most of it's been, you know, kind of born off the political format, but in the food service side and also in business to business, it has elevated now to where it's mainstream. So that's a big part of it. I think that's going to be huge, but I think decentralized media with the potential for blockchain provenance is coming. And what I mean by that is there's this thing called Web3, and the restaurant industry hasn't completely connected the dots yet, because there's a lot of connectivity.
Tell us what it is, because
I've
heard a little bit about it, but I don't remember. I know it's going to be big, but that's the extent of what I remember.
Think of it as the internet in 1999.
Mm.
And if you could remember in 99, 2000, that was the dot-bomb era. I was a young engineer for Microsoft at the time. So we saw the not only the birth of what we know now as the modern internet, but the birth of a lot of companies, you know, that were born in that era. This is pre-social media. This is pre-Twitter, pre-Facebook, pre-Google, you know. Yeah. That's where we are right now with Web3. I think what we are facing is a decentralized future where consumers and people will pretty much have control of all your own content, your own social media platforms, et cetera. Decentralized media. I mean, if you look at Mastodon or things that are happening with Noster, that's the early stages of what will eventually become a web ID, to where bots will just no longer be a problem. AI is probably going to be a huge issue because of the potential for everything from deep fakes to hacks and bot hacks, et cetera. That's where blockchain comes into play, because it has not only a decentralized mechanism, but it has authenticity that's built in it, into the blockchain. So it creates a very interesting, much like RSS, an interesting technology that is immutable and you can't corrupt it. So that's the biggest advantage, I think, in media in the coming years.
Cool. When you talked about, not a lot has changed. Do you think that the cost of entry has changed from 2007? It's less expensive now to launch a podcast or like anybody can, your phone, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You can do a lot of it.
Yeah, I think, from a broadcast standpoint, the cost is still there. If you look at, some of the technicals, like our studio, our full, it's like a TV studio. We spent, a couple hundred grand on building that studio out. But I think now the scale, because so many people can do what we're doing here tonight on StreamYard, it's a very simple, a couple of great microphones and a handful of cameras and you've got a show. So I think that in itself is going to open up. Well, it's already opened up. And what is I think podcasting index was, I just looked at this yesterday on the total number of podcasts. It's gone down a little bit, but the point is that it's continued to really climb. And I think it's only going to, continue to blow up.
Yeah. I think that's kind of, when I talk about, I'm not talking about people going to the level you're going. I'm talking about the everyday business that might want to talk about their business, their yes. little business, their, two or three shop business or 50 shops for that matter. But they're not out there kind of exploiting the possibilities of what this could do.
And yet. I think B2B is coming. Pretty fast, though.
I could tell you a few things about that, Paul.
Yeah, I bet you can.
I foresee where we're headed in the B2B space, just because I've been doing that for 4 years in the B2B. You have believers.
Yes.
Some. You have a lot of people that push back, don't really see the light, still believe in old methods of marketing and whatever. Even after you prove the concept, there's still some going, right? They're still in the old mindset of the processes that work for the bazillion years prior to bringing in this kind of model of marketing or bringing in the awareness of brands and stuff like this. So it has been an uphill battle. It's been really rewarding, but it has, and that's all companies, but you start to see it, like to your point. We have seen some food companies starting to bring it on more and more. I am out there talking with more and more restaurants and smaller chains and things like that that want to get it. Like one of the things that me and Dominic always talk about is every restaurant should have a podcast. Every restaurant should have their own.
Totally.
And that's my motto, actually. I should get that tattooed somewhere. But it is where I believe that even today, the meeting I just came back from, this amazing hotel, huge, by the way, gorgeous. We talked about it and they're like, well, yeah, let's do it. Like right at the end, I was like, well, that was easy. But there's just so many stories. They were telling me stories left and right, and they just had so much energy. And I'm like, that is a podcast. We're sitting around, we're just missing the mics and a computer, and we could go, right? Like, and I think there's still room, but the B2B space, I would say, another 2-3 years in Canada, you guys are much ahead of us in the US in this space. You are, in my mind. I live it every day in Canada here. I'm friends with all the main podcasters down in the States and a little bit ahead of us. But we're coming back. We're coming up. We're trying to catch up, but there is It's rewarding, but it is a lot of work to tell people you got to do this to build the brand.
Well, I think, I think the demographic too has finally occurred. You know, this year, 2024, will be the year that Gen Z takes over in the workforce from boomers as the most populated workforce. You know, and if you look about that, I was just looking at the stats here. Last 10 days, 224,000 podcasts have been posted. Wow. 224,000. 10 days. And like 4.3 million podcasts currently active that publish at least once a month. So those are active podcasts.
Yeah.
So I think this is just a new way for, you know, and I think this also shows in mainstream media because we've seen mainstream media. I mean, a good example, PBN, which is our, you know, our blockchain shows.
Yeah.
We get, you know, our biggest, I mean, we have a million view video. You know, we have 50 videos over 500,000 views, 50 wow. million, 52 million views on our network so far. And you compare that to something like CNBC or Squawk Box. I mean, we're starting to encroach on the level of broadcast media. So I think this is a, you know, it's just a shift, and it's also the demo that is really how they consume content is huge.
Yeah, those mainstream guys have been slow to adapt, and you've been quick to make it better. I that's kind of my whole thought on all of that, because they're going to come and look at what you're doing and either try and buy you to take over, or to put you out of business, or to, you know, but they can't react probably as fast as you can. The cool thing is
I don't know, Dominic. I think it's more on the issue of narratives.
I was going to say my thought just is that when you have independent media.
That's a definite problem in most environments, especially I would say in Canada.
When you have that independent media, this generation that you just talked about, but even maybe the generation after that, they're craving that. They want that. They want something different than what they've been fed for the last 40 years, right?
It's like, talk, man.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Yeah. We need it. And we need it really, in all media, not just in podcasts. We need it on TV. We need it in print. We need it on the radio, but the magic is that what you're doing, which even what Jay's doing in a little sense, is that we're putting it out there. People can find it. The scary part is I want to ask about the blockchain part of it. How does the blockchain make it uncorruptible?
Imagine a show, this show.
Yeah.
You know, somebody in you know, a fairly good developer in AI, he says, okay, listen, I'm going to take this feed. I'm going to feed this into an AI model, and I'm going to recreate this. I'm going to spin this off. Within a year or two, we will have AI models that will be able to replicate us so closely because we have so much material online.
Yeah.
My voice has already been replicated. I have this on TikTok and on Twitter often, where they'll take my voice. I mean, we have, you know, 6,000 episodes out there of all of our content. So that's an easy library to go harvest. So the key here will be where blockchain can take this video right here, can place it on the blockchain as a digital signature, as a block, in one of the blockchains, whether you're on Ethereum, Solana, Avalanche, one of the layer ones that are out there, and it becomes a unique, immutable media asset. So think about watermarking and where technology will go with watermarking for authenticity. This will go for the provenance of real media. So decentralized media is another big factor, because when you decentralize media, you're essentially taking away the walls of these walled gardens, Facebook, Meta, Twitter, X, and what we'll see in the future, probably with TikTok. Imagine if you could take all the content that you've posted on TikTok. It's yours. and immediately just reposition it over on another decentralized social media network. It's your content. Okay. That's what RSS is today. Okay. No. Think about an RSS podcast. It's already been happening. The difference is RSS isn't necessarily immutable just yet. I think it will be. And then you're going to be looking at the opportunity of just blockchain integration with things like podcasting 2.0, which is where you'll start to see streaming payments. You guys should probably check into that. I would just go to the podcasting 2.0 index, go to the, and check out their Lightning. It's basically, what's the name of it? Is it called Pay Wallet? I can't remember. The point is that they've got a capability of streaming basically payments on the Lightning Network in Bitcoin over to a podcaster. So Someone's listening to you. They've got a wallet. They're using an app that is updated, not iTunes, not Spotify. Okay. New podcasting 2.0 apps that are going to be able to stream payments into podcasters. So now you have creator content. Now imagine if you could do that in the music industry. Oh. All right. Any artist with 1,000, fans could make a living out there today. So big deal.
Are the big guys trying to shut that down?
Well, that's the beauty of it. You can't.
Yeah, I realize, but that's
the beauty of it.
The question. The beauty of it is that, right now it looks like they can't shut it down, but the reality of it to me, Mr. Conspiracy Theory would be, Apple would be saying, holy shit, 5 years down the road, we might not have a business.
Well, think about this though. The index, awesome. You got to know the story. You guys should probably have a guy by the name of Adam Curry on your show one day. Yeah. The index of podcasting originally went into iTunes as the core index that all the RSSs feed all of these other podcasting destinations. Doesn't matter who it is. Okay. When you get, whether it's Spreaker, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all the different ones that you have out there to select from today to spit your feed out.
Yeah.
That is now starting, because remember, that's a free index. And if you just look at what's happening within that space, the opportunity and the challenge for mainstream media to change that, I think, is probably just never going to happen. It's impossible to control it all now. It's just too big. It's out, it's the toothpaste is out of the tube. At this point.
That's good. And to me, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because we don't want, I won't get.
I think if you have Spotify, to a certain extent, they're continuing to pull shows down. Apple, of course, has pulled shows down before. But I think now with 2.0 coming, it's just a matter of time before you'll be hosting your own, RSS podcast server. You probably won't be using Blueberry or whichever product you're using. You'll be hosting your own. And this is the problem you have with centralized media, which is the problem today. I mean, even YouTube, we love it. But what we're doing is we're building our audience into a decentralized mechanism. Now, email is still a big part of that, because it's the one true one thing. Mobile will be another one that you can connect one-to-one with someone. And, our audience, we're getting about 1 million to 2 million views a month right now on YouTube. We convert about, anywhere between 10 and 15,000 people a month into our email list, which is continuously growing, now up to around 200K. And we only launched that February of last year. It's called our Diamond Circle. And I think that's the thing. So imagine a restaurant brand, that is wants to do that. I think these are the vehicles in which they can do it for sure.
Well, then that, especially on the small and probably mid-size, they're not capturing that. And it's probably a time function and probably a fear even, because the technology, the
Dominic, did we lose you?
He froze. They're listening. They're listening.
I'll just say that.
This must be TikTok is listening.
Yeah.
So that's the cool part. And that's back to what Jay says. Everybody needs a podcast. And it sounds like we're on the road to that being freely available. I don't see it in Canada for sure. I don't see the government allowing it to happen. Like our current government would be all over. Well,
I mean, you would have to shut down the internet to make this go away. And even at that level, I think there's still redundancy systems out there today that, you know, if we did have a zombie event, it's very possible that podcasting might survive, you know, that.
That would be awesome.
In terms of just a communication.
We'll probably have to pivot from talking about food safety to talking about, you know, how to not get lasered to death by some robot.
Yeah, we've had some topics that have gotten close to that, Dominic.
Come on, listen, we're going to get in here and talk to AI in a minute, are we?
Yeah.
I do have this. I do want to bring this up in chat, but so Paul, I have a question then. When we talk about all this stuff, how does companies, like these big companies and stuff, they're going to need people like you just to explain this on what the direction is going towards. Because there's no way, like I'm peanuts towards what you guys are doing and I'm confusing them.
Yeah.
Right? Like how do you get connected to big companies to say, here's the direction you need to head?
Yeah, I think what's happened, listen, you and I, I think when you think about this, we've faced this a lot. Okay. I remember when we pitched this very idea to the Restaurants Canada team, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, I guess it was, you know, prior to that, it was a decade ago. We pitched the same idea of building a network for the National Restaurant Association, same model.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's a mindset in food service. And fortunately, that mindset, I think for the first time, is now in flux. Now, it's a very interesting timing too, because you've got so much happening in social and mobile that has already proven itself. I mean, it's like, hey, we've already proven the model here. It works. Yeah. There's going to be another model going forward that is really going to connect the dots for consumers. And I think it's going to be a little bit of a younger mindset, younger CEOs that will be the new rock stars. You know, the new, if you think about, you know, the real legends of our industry and you look back at the real game changers, you know, and I think of only a handful. I mean, if you think about Troy Smith, he was a game changer in the 60s and 70s for Sonic Drive-In. Then you look at, you know, just the history of a lot of those kinds of guys. And then we're at an era right now where probably, you know, Steve Ells is probably the gateway guy, the Chipotle founder. But even he has kind of moved on. I think there's going to be a new set of CEOs that completely get this because they were born and raised on the internet. They understand social. They know what social commerce is going to be like in a couple of years. I mean, what was the number I saw just the other day? It was almost 200 billion that was in social commerce just on TikTok.
Wow.
It's just on TikTok.
One platform, 200 billion. And their estimate was pretty dynamic for growth to 2030 of where TikTok would be on social commerce. Meaning, let's say you're a restaurant and you want Uber Eats, but you want to do your own delivery. That's your new vehicle right there. Then if you go with a decentralized mechanism for delivery, as opposed to Uber Eats, you circumvent the third party fee, but you've already got the distribution and the marketing vehicle, which is the problem that everybody's dealing with today is that Uber Eats is the marketing vehicle. It's the network.
Yeah.
So that's a hard one to get past, but I think TikTok and X will possibly be the platforms that do it.
That's cool.
I'm blown away, Paul. Like, well,
that's exciting. I mean, if that's a possibility down the road, that you're not going to have to rely on third party delivery companies to be your marketing platform. That's awesome because they're taking a big chunk away from restaurants right now, and that's unfortunate for the restaurants. But that's that to me, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think it is as well.
I was going to give you a company. Go check out a company project. It's a blockchain project called teleport.xyz. Okay. Now, Teleport is essentially an Uber killer. And the concept is very intriguing on how they'll be able to recruit drivers and delivery. Okay. All on a decentralized blockchain, utilizing blockchain for payment. So it eliminates a massive problem around centralized governance of something like Uber, which is really what causes your fees to go up so much right now. So there is so much, man. I wish I could tell you more about this, but it's a deep rabbit hole that is being constructed right now. And we are at, I think, at really the precipice of what is going to happen. It reminds me a lot of 2006 and 7. I met Jack Dorsey. He was running, him and Ev were running a little company called Odeo. Guess what Odeo was? It was a podcasting platform using RSS. They couldn't make it work. So what did they turn it into? Twitter,
yeah. Jack Dorsey.
So we're at that place right now, I think, in this technology. It's a very magical spot for sure.
So the next 5 years could really...
Oh, it's going to be... You think what we've done in the last decade has been amazing? The next five are going to blow your socks off. It's going to absolutely unhitch.
So Paul, I have a question.
Fast, yeah.
Okay. Too bad the clock wasn't going the other way, hey, Dominic? In her ages.
The cool thing is some of the medical discoveries for big old fat guys like me will come probably a little slower, but they'll come too.
Yeah. Well, drink your hydrogen water. I do want to ask though, Paul. So is this then a good space to be in then? Like from your professional opinion and stuff like this, like doing these podcasts, mm-hmm. building brands through the podcast channels from restaurants, small and big. So I got some big ones coming up.
Yep.
And things like this. Is this the right space to play in?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Content. Like we hear this all the time. Content's king. Create content. Keep building this stuff. So, you know, like we're not into bazillions like you are, but you do see more and more people knowing, you know, what we're doing and getting the content right out there. Is that still that same formula, or do you have to know the secret sauce? Like you're speaking about all these different things, or is it just constantly build the content, keep creating, and you'll sooner or later get to where you're headed?
Yeah, I think the key here is still, you know, really great, compelling content. Mm-hmm. You know, that at the end of the day is really the killer app, you know, of anything. Whether you think about where AI is going to take us and the potential media and consumption. I mean, just look at short form on TikTok and YouTube. You know, it's unfortunately a mind screw for a lot of people, but at the same time, it is a vehicle in which, you know, retail sales is going to pretty much be dominated by that kind of content. But I think long form content will replace, you know, traditional news media, which is really what podcasting is.
It's happening now, I think.
Yeah, it's already going. I mean, you're seeing long form content on the political sphere right now that has reformatted how a lot of political candidates are put into play.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm curious though, because we have not seen, or at least I'm not aware of, a really tactical model by the Democrats or the GOP to truly take this into the election this year. It may be happening right now. There may be some movement around understanding how to really dominate a podcast network. Because if you could get into the top 50, top 100 podcasts with a long form message, whether you're Nikki Haley or you were, I mean, look how fast Ramaswamy, I don't know if you guys follow the political scene down here. Yeah. This guy came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he is on the stage with Donald Trump. I mean, that's what a podcast. Look at RFK. I think Gavin Newsom is the one that has been a little bit weird, and also the Obamas. I'm surprised we haven't seen more movement from them. in the area, just in the sense of just getting, you know, more mindset going in the right direction. Because yeah. here,
yeah, up here we have Polyev that's doing, that's avoiding mainstream media for the most part and doing his own social.
Yeah,
he's done so many things on social, just probably inspired.
He's dabbling a little bit in the podcast. Like he's on shows and he's doing those things.
Putting out a lot of his own stuff though. He's putting out. There was a video last week on housing that was 10 minutes long. They're just talking, kind of explaining the housing, and that's in the. I think it's in the millions of views now because it kind of was presented in. It's political, but it was presented in a news sort of format of here's what the facts are. Rebecca Schultz here in Alberta did it today, Jay, on another topic on the electricity grid. But you're 100% right, and I think on the food service side, Jay. Back to everybody needs a podcast, and maybe what we're going to segue into here with our ChatGPT question is restaurants need to go and embrace this another sort of media. And you talked about a company that was built around social, Crumble Cookie. They're young CEOs, and they built their business around sort of the social part of it first before ever kind of opening a location. Yeah, and they're having tremendous success, I think, that company. Yeah,
800 stores or something like that now.
That's not bad.
Yeah. No, and they're actually, there's two owners, and one's from Alberta. So same university I did, U of L. So, they use a lot of data, and they use a lot of social user generated and all that stuff. But I'm glad to hear that, Paul. So I'm going to use that when my leaders say, I'll say, Paul said, so
come on down.
Exactly. Go visit Paul and then come back. See, the beauty I like is that I think it comes back to what you were saying, Paul, is a lot of the stuff that we get to do, or I get to speak about, or I get to do different shows or even restaurateurs, is that, to Dominic was kind of pointing on, is that right now, any content that you're producing, even on TikTok in a way, it's all kind of blending in with everyone else. It's the same kind of messaging.
Yeah.
Even some of the smaller story components are very similar when you look at TikTok or you look at stuff being posted, on Instagram and stuff. Nothing really that stands out. It all kind of washes together. And then you get the old lady at a concert and then that jumps out. But it's not in relation to our industry. But that's why I kind of like when you look at podcasting and being able to get restaurants to tell the multiple millions of stories they have. It's a different dynamic. It's a different angle. It's a different way of telling their stories, getting their brands out there.
No doubt.
So I'm glad that you said that, because Dominic and me have had millions of conversations around that. This is, I foresee, and hopefully I don't ruin our secret sauce, but I foresee the model of how Yelp is today is that I go into a city, let's say it's Miami, and I can go to a page that lists all the restaurants' podcasts, and I can make decisions if I want to dine or use those locations based on the story content that they're producing through a podcast model.
Yeah.
So I can go, let's go listen to this restaurant, learn about their menu or learn about this new dish. Oh, they got a new recipe. It's on the podcast. It's building that out through that model. And I think that's where I see podcasting in a sense, almost being reinvented as we move more and more back to podcasting, especially in our industry. If I have to hear everyone tell another restaurateur, that's why I like our show tonight. Because we hear podcasts today, they're all telling restaurants how to do it from their couch. Better, they're providing, you should do this, you should do that, and I'm like, man, guys, you got to get out there and hang out with the restaurants so you can tell them real examples. But what I want to say here is it's just interesting that I foresee where we're headed, but I think there's going to be ways people are taking this. Like today we call this not a podcast for a reason. But it's on Instagram, and I'm looking, I've tried TikTok as a podcast channel, right? To use to drive podcasts through that channel.
Sure. We're
doing that tonight. Just looking at different means, like you said, try not to use those traditional formats because you're up against everyone else doing the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's only so much consumption from our community in our industry that can only listen to so many people tell them how to cost a menu out, right? Or this is what you should be doing for service. So I think there needs to be a disruption in a way, in my mind. And maybe that's where this 2.0, which I will be researching.
It's happening. Yeah, it's happening. It'll be slowly and then all at once.
All at once, yeah.
Yep. Slowly and then it'll just overnight, everybody will go, oh my gosh, how did this get here? Kind of like social media was, kind of like mobile was. You know, if you look at the adoption curve, even in the internet, if you go back and compare the adoption curve of the internet, had a lot of those early markers, you know, that were, hey, listen, tech, we're humans. We all respond in the same mechanism, you know, biological, you know, humanoids that will react to technology a certain way, which is usually offensive at first. And then eventually it makes our life easier and easier. And then, you know, we're lazy people also. we go with what's easiest.
Well, I always say we have an adoption phase, right? I think we're still in the adoption phase, especially in AI, right? And I think I think we're really early in the adoption phase here in Canada when it comes to podcasting. We're still learning this. We're still playing around. And I think that's a kind of a cool part too, is seeing people, what they're doing with it, and they're trying different things and stuff. But anyways, I'm going to bring up, I changed it to, instead of four questions, Dominic, thanks for the text, to one topic. So we don't want to take all Paul's time.
Well, we're 40 minutes in.
I know. I can talk. This is a legend. Like, the guy created the first.
We never even talked. We'll have to do another show because I want to talk about robotics after. Well, he's the guy, right? Because
I know.
I want to know about that in our kitchens and in the future, because that, and how safety can be built into that, because robots are going to be able to do it safer than probably humans, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you'll see some moves.
Okay, Paul, I have a question before we get into this. 5 years, I've been told, you will see most QSRs move to robotics. What do you think? Yes?
By the next 5 years?
Yeah, within five to 10. Their 5 to 10?
Let me think about this.
I'm thinking profit-wise. I'm thinking profitability.
I wish I had my slides here because in 2003, we did a presentation for McDonald's.
Okay.
And I'm going to I'll take pictures of them and I'll text them to you. Okay. These are ancient slides before LCD projectors. Do you guys remember those projectors that were overhead? Yes. Okay. You remember those?
Yeah.
I was a kid at that time. Okay. So we had to print these little slides in these little paper things that hold the film.
Yeah.
So we designed the first robotic kitchen for McDonald's, and the concept. Yeah. And the dual lane drive-thru, we designed that originally. I was with a consulting team that did this. I was sleeping on the floor in Romeoville, Illinois, which is McDonald's, you know, test kitchens. Anyway, so I don't know. That was back in 20 years ago. So are we that much further along yet? I don't know. This would be interesting. But I think the acceleration is there.
The tech's a lot better now though, right?
Yeah, so the tech is much better. We've actually got, you know, now compute systems that can handle the kind of things you would need. I mean, Miso Robotics is a good example with what they've done so far. Yeah. Pretty advanced. And I think, you know, if you look at just how this little move by Elon, this is a good example. You know, he's trying to get more control of Tesla, I think for a reason. It's so that he understands what the potential is for productivity from Tesla. I don't think they're a car company. I drive these things and it's still not there yet. But imagine if he truly does get Optimus in a position with all this data that's coming in from Dojo right now, which is their neural net, and you plug this into an AI model that can ramp it and then plug it into robotics. Okay, now the magic is there.
Yeah. Do you think he's building that? Like, that's where this is, like, he's already built it? Like, is that his intent?
So Optimus is his robotic model that they launched about a year ago. And the neural net, which is Dojo, that's the computer that essentially takes all the data from the Tesla vehicles.
Yeah, that's what I was like, yeah.
Ingests all that data in. You know, imagine the power of a true neural net compute system, along with what he's doing with robotics, you know, advanced full self-driving, all those kind of things. It's close. And I think he sees it.
That's what I'm saying. That's my question is, do you think he sees that?
I think he sees it. And I think he's trying to take action right now to get control, more control of Tesla. Because right now he's only got 25 or 13% of the shares and very little of the voting power to be able to get him to do something. So Tesla is probably going to be one of those companies that could pull something like this off, you know, in terms of real.
Is that his move on the X side too, to gather that there's
data.
Tons of data, because it's fed in. Not only on people, but you know, people's habits, all these things.
And yeah, I have a whole theory that Elon's in on the joke.
Yeah.
I have a whole theory that he's in on the joke. When he and Sam Altman put this together, that this is, you know, but this is my conspiracy hat on, is that there's a plan here, and they know they're close. They know they're close. Most of the governments don't know what they're doing. You know, can you imagine? This guy's getting ready to send shit to Mars.
Yeah.
So.
This is world domination, really. That's like world domination, isn't it?
Look what he's done in the automotive industry.
I know, but that's what, like, I mean, it's like.
Think about that. Look how fast he's come. And now you own one of the most decentralized media products out there, X. Yeah. So you have the voice, you have the vehicle for distribution. You're already in play on, you know, space travel with what they're doing with SpaceX. Yeah. And you're testing everything from Neuralink, you know, to be able to plug into the true potential future of what mankind might be. And this is weird, you know, when we get this late at night, this gets crazy.
Well, I don't even want to pull a question up.
What's the guy's name that used to be on the radio overnight that had all the conspiracy theories?
I don't remember who that. He was the conspiracy theories about aliens mostly.
Yeah,
I think.
Mostly that.
Great, thanks. Thanks,
Dominique. We're going to do that one as well. We'll do that one after midnight because it was overnight, right? It would come on after midnight.
All right. So anyways, we're going to get ChatGPT to give us one topic for tonight's show in relationship to the restaurant industry in North America. So we have Paul Barron on the show tonight. Make this really good. So let's see what it does.
ChatGPT. Detected unusual activity. Ooh. You're talking badly about our AI model. Ghost kitchens. Ooh, I like it. Growth ghost kitchens. I love it. Technology.
So definition and growth impact of the pandemic. I talked about that. Technology's role. This is what is brought up in relationship. Nice. To you. Right. So which one do you want to tackle? Which one do you want to grab? I'm going to let you lead.
What do you have there? You've got future trends, the future of these ghost kitchens. I can talk about that. Sure.
But Paul, I saw ghost kitchens come up on LinkedIn today or yesterday. There's some investments still in there. Is that still are we going to see ghost kitchens keep going?
Yeah, I think, the situation with virtual brands is going to be challenging. You know, we're back to now, granted, if we have another event, you know, that's an issue. But I think the model has now been more virtual brand organizations that have figured out, all right, I'm going to take and build, you know, kind of like what Jeff with WowBow is doing, where he's taken his brand IP and he's moved it into distribution of other restaurant operators who can now multi-brand it. You know,
yeah.
I get that. You know, we had the Craveworthy guys on not too long ago on a podcast, and, you know, they're a multi-brand, but they're building both brick and mortar. And then they have this virtual product, which resides inside the brick and mortar, which essentially is a ghost.
We have that up here called Hero.
Yeah. Burger. I don't think it's going anywhere. Do I think it's a big innovation in the industry? Nah, not really.
This is just another that left Uber. He started, I think, Ghost Kitchens, right?
Kalanick, yeah, Travis. Yeah. So he, I mean, he's more of it's more of a real estate play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's more of a real estate play with what they were trying to do. But I think that has been debunked now. I mean, if you think about what Cloud Kitchens has tried to do, there's been many that are trying to go in that direction. It was a thing there for a bit. I'm just not sure that it's going to be something, you know, in the future.
So I have one other question because I don't want to take all your time. It's just a complete honor, first of all, to have you on our show. And there is a question on here I have to ask you because I hear this daily in all the shows that we do or discussions when I'm out there working with restaurants. This one, I want your opinion on this, but I do have to kind of figure out that this is really cool that chat knows who you are, by the way. Paul, I think that's kind of freaky, by the way. It knows who you are.
I'm surprised that it doesn't pick up more blockchain stuff because we do so much in that space. So as usual, AI is typically wrong.
So I'm going to ask if it knows who you are.
So, if you enter, here's a good one. If you enter just my name and blockchain, tell me about Paul Barron and blockchain.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that right now.
And that would be an interesting resolve to see what it comes back with. But haven't you found AI to kind of get very creative in its writing?
I find right
we did,
now.
We did a thing today, it spelled food safety wrong.
Oh, well,
yeah, it's but there's some things that it's starting to do right now where it's almost questioning you on the questions you're asking it.
The prompts, yeah.
Yeah, like the prompts you're asking. So you can get creative in your prompts and everything else and all the stuff that you're asking it. But what I've noticed right now, it's almost saying, are you sure you want to ask me that? That's how it's starting to... Oh yeah, it did. It did actually. It's still going, Paul. By the way, that blockchain part did come out well. Yeah. Here, I'll show you. It did. It did share a lot of you right there. Everything else.
Oh, that's our mastermind group. Yeah. That's TechPath Crypto. That's our biggest podcast. Yeah. And that's our holding company. Yep. Our investment group. Yeah. That's all of our media, education, analysis. Yep. We do all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, give a thumbs up then. Oops. So big question before we wrap up here, where are we headed when it comes to customer service right now in the industry? You've seen this over the bazillion years. You've been doing this as well. Where are we headed? Are we going to still head into this experience economy more and more? What's the secret? Like, if you had to tell a restaurant right now, here's what you need to work on this year. What is that, yeah, Paul? Because it's all, and I've heard it this year. Someone summed it up was, this is the year of the unknown.
Well, I think actually the model is in place. The problem is that the technology wasn't really there, you know, for personalizing, you know, within retail food service, well, any retail experience, we'll just call it just any retail experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that is about to change in a big way. And I think it's going to actually be blockchain that does it because of the loyalty mechanism that will create this one-to-one relationship with brand and consumer. And to me, that is the magic that's missing because today loyalty and hospitality, whether you know, think, and there's a great book, what's it, Uncommon Hospitality or Unconventional Hospitality, I have to remember. But it, basically, it's talking about the effort of just doing so much above and beyond what's expected. And it creates lifetime connections. So you think about this. You screw something up at a restaurant, you can do it two ways. The guy comes out, he's ho-hum, they fix the problem, and they go on their way. Or the person comes out, and they make that an event that's basically a life-changing event. They do something so bizarrely over the top to fix that problem that that customer feels connected to that brand forever. And they're going to tell so many people about that experience. So I think that is something that's very, unfortunately, cannot be replicated very easily. So it is going to have to be technology that moves it. We think it's going to most likely reside in blockchain around what is going to help make that happen. Visa just launched their Web3 initiative that essentially is going to connect consumer to rewards. And I think the key here is being able to personalize this. And it's one of the big trends for 2024 that's been identified, McKinsey and many others out there, that personalization at a level that you it truly knows you. Mm-hmm. That's when the brand starts to, I think, really make a difference in keeping that customer.
Wow. Hmm. Dominic, did that floor you?
Yeah. Well, the reason it floored me, because we talked about it without the tech, that the restaurateur that remembers you, mm-hmm. you have a connection to them. The restaurateur yep. that when you went, like even last night, we were talking about, you know, getting a Shirley Temple and you remember that. And it, because, you know, the umbrella and the, it was so sweet and it was cool. And you got Dimitri was talking about the tall glass and getting the tech. See, the tech part of it scares me though, because mm-hmm. they know so much. That part. Now, if there's a safe part of it, if you're saying, okay, well, it's on the blockchain there. When people, I think, start to understand that, that might give us some solace in that it's maybe not as scary as it could be, right?
Yeah. Well, the key there too, Dominic, is that, you know, with blockchain, everything is so unique and true one-to-one, as opposed to what we've seen with tech today, which is mostly machine learning yeah. and not much more than advanced algorithms. And in those kind of scenarios, you end up in a bucket. You're yeah. you're one of the 50 that have a profile like that, that's in that bucket. Mm-hmm. Versus blockchain is this one individual has one place on the blockchain and all the data that surrounds that individual resides there. So now you are no longer in a bucket. You're in a social experiment, so to speak, of what real service might become. If it's almost, you know, and I think, you know, some of the sci-fi films have kind of gone this direction. Is that robotics eventually will know that much about us
yeah.
that it will make our life so perfect because it understands everything from our health to our family, to our likes, our hobbies, our dislikes, our passions. All of those things are important. And if you can get that into a tech model that can work, whether it's AI that does it, a robotic element that does it, eventually you've got to connect it. Because it can't be stored out here on a big, you know, Amazon server, because yeah. that's something that can be circumvented. Blockchain is where it will end. And this is why tokenized securities are such a big deal. It's why you're seeing, you know, the CEO of BlackRock, the CEO of JP Morgan, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, all talking about, we're about to take the financial infrastructure and put it over here on a blockchain. So we don't have all these problems with bot trading, yeah. you know, all the sorts of fakery that's been going on within Wall Street for the last three decades because of computers, you know, for sure.
So well, the impact at the restaurant level, how far away is that? Like if it's getting to the financial institutions now, mm-hmm. you know, those are big players with deep pockets. And what's the tech's coming fast. I agree with that too. Like you're seeing, you know, just small increments in, we had the gentleman on from Food Service Solutions with the tech that's in the equipment, but you know, that's going to come faster and faster to the food service industry. Mm-hmm. Is back to what Jay said, is that 5 or 10 years? I think it's coming faster. I don't think it's going to take over like we might think it will, because I think there's going to be a pretty hard resistance for a long time to it.
Well, imagine the resistance that we had on social between, you know, 2006 and 2010. Yeah. That was a pretty heavy resistance in social media. of operators, you know, truly saying, hey, I'm ready to do it. When I wrote the book, The Chipotle Effect, we wrote it in 2010, and the format was the future is here. And I think it's chapter 21 about the shift in social would change the dynamic of how consumer behavior really works, mm-hmm. and the mechanism. And it was just a matter of one thing. And that was, at that time, the millennials becoming resident as the primary consumer group. Obviously, Gen Z is even larger. So we're 13 years past that. And, I think now it's mainstream, but I would say all the way back to 2007 and 8 was probably the real adoption period, you know, that we saw everyone here. You know, that, like I said, that, you know, it's going to happen, and then all at once.
Yeah.
Everyone's there. So I think we'll see that, with all sorts of new technology, whether it's AI, blockchain, what we're going to see in robotics. There's a lot. I mean, what a great time to be living.
Yeah, so cool. I always think of my grandparents to say, you know, I remember my grandmother saying, oh, they went to the moon. Like, I was just a kid, but you know, she didn't believe it for a long time, right? Just like, you know, somebody in the 40s coming off a farm and getting on a plane, like that would have been just, you know, yeah. in the turn of the century, a light bulb and the phone. Like, yeah, it's the tech that we have now is incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah,
it really is.
I think the restaurant industry is in a position right now where, because when I talk to a lot of CEOs, they're like, Paul, listen, we really just need to serve customers. And I'm like, that's great. The problem is that the customer dynamic is in the middle of a hurricane shift. So what you think you're serving today in 18 months to 24 months is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
So you've got to be very careful. Imagine if you were into the pandemic and you were one of those restaurants that was not ready for e-commerce.
Yeah.
You're dead. You're just gone. You've been offed. You know, yeah. So I think that's what we're dealing with. If you're not ready for this Gen Z group right now, unfortunately, I think your brand is on life support.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Dominic, I wasn't... Sorry, go ahead, Paul. I wasn't joking, Dominic, when I was texting you, going like, we have a legend on.
Yeah, evolve Paul. Or die. That's the reality of it, right? It is. That's it's so true. It's like adapt or die, right? Because if you don't embrace some of it, and probably all of it pretty quick, then you're just going to get moved past. And yeah. You know, even just the podcast, we're talking about marketing, me and you, and that people need to stop thinking about flyers and their traditional, you know, ads in magazines or whatever they're doing. They need to do podcasts and they need to do streaming and they need to have videos on YouTube and they should be on TikTok and they should be on Facebook and on Twitter or X. They need to do all of these things now because their customers are not just sitting at home waiting to hear an ad on the radio. It just doesn't happen yeah. like that anymore, right? So.
Well, I do. I was looking at the time. I'm like, Paul, first of all, thank you for staying up late with us. I was looking at the time going, holy cow, it's getting late for him. And I'm sure you're beyond imaginable busy. And I just want to thank you so much for all the things that you do. You inspire me. You blow my mind. And just thank you so much for joining us on our late night show. It's just been a complete, I'm still kind of digesting it a little bit, to be honest. You're heavy, and it's amazing. And just thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No problem. Yeah, it's been great, guys.
Awesome. Excellent. Thanks so much, Paul.
Again, we got to talk about robotics in the kitchen.
Yes. Well, just sit and play. Just go for it. Anyways, thanks so much to everyone else and everyone else on all the other channels and everyone that is on TikTok. We'll see you guys later. See you tomorrow night. Thanks so much, Paul.
Bye. Bye, Paul. We'll be right back.